I have been looking forward to being here with all of you. I was really excited about this opportunity to be here, and I'm really excited for the opportunity to get to know a lot of you that I haven't met. There are a few familiar faces in here, but for me, a lot of you I don't know. So I'll try to fill in with a few tidbits about myself as we go along. I've got a few pictures to show you guys. That'll help for you to get to know me a little better also. Let me see. Before I go there, this is our topic today. We're going to be talking about distractions in the modern family. Every one of us in here can be distracted by something and probably is distracted by something daily, hourly, every minute. Our culture and our world is just screaming distractions at us. I feel particularly distracted by a few certain things. One of those is this little boy. That's our one-year-old. That's Layton. You can probably see in the background, we were working on Christmas gifts. We were doing fingerprints, and we were doing very good. It was going well. Layton was sitting there. I've always just stuck the kids on the counter as I'm working along, and it's so far three of them haven't fallen off, so we're doing good. But it was going great. The big kids were going through, doing their fingerprints. Layton was just being an angel, and then I turned around. I was distracted. I was helping those older kids do something, and my focus wasn't on him. So his attention went to that. Another example of me being distracted, we were visiting with some friends. There were some cookies on a plate not far away, and he came over proudly to show me, "Mom, I did it all by myself." So I was a little distracted, and he just got busy with it. Let's see. This one's pretty recent. I was sitting on the floor playing with Jackson. I was focused on Jackson. We were busy playing with his trains. And I've gotten pretty smart after three kids. I don't just put my coffee in my coffee mug anymore. Now I put it in a to-go thermos because it's got a lid on it. So I've gotten smart. They can't just tip my mug over anymore. But he outsmarted me. And while my back was turned, he decided to dump all the coffee out of there and just have fun with it. So one last one that's just too cute. Jeremy pointed this one out to me. I was busy making dinner, had my back turned, and I don't know if you can tell, I was trying to be secretive about filming him, but he's gotten pretty good about when I open the fridge, he sneaks in real quietly and holds the door open so he can get in there and get whatever he wants. So Jeremy comes in and says, "Britt, did you see what's going on here?" And I turned around and he found the Jell-O. So he was just helping himself to some Jell-O. That pretty well describes him. He's kind of quietly mischievous. Quietly, yeah. He was enjoying it. Yeah. So that does you. That's a little bit of a glimpse into my day. That's a glimpse into my day and what my day looks like. But as I was preparing for this lesson, a couple of weeks ago I was teaching ladies Bible class, and I asked for some input on distractions because in the beginning while I was preparing, I was thinking about all my distractions. And these are what my distractions look like right now. But I know for us, we're all in very different stages of life. We're all in very different seasons. So my distractions may not look like your distractions. So I wanted to get some input. And that's what I did. And you would not believe the list of distractions we came up with. It was huge. And I don't know why I was so surprised, because there are so many distractions in our culture. So instead of going through and listing out all of these distractions that face us every day, because they look different for all of us, what I did was I categorized them into seven different categories. And as well as I can tell, I think every distraction I think of pretty well fits into one of those categories. So as we get started today, I would like to look at those categories of distraction. And I would welcome some of your input as well to tell me what some of those distractions look like in your life. the seven types of distraction that I've come up with. And the first one that came to my mind was sin. What are some distractions that are sin that look like in our life? What are some of those for you? And you guys are welcome to input.
Television.
Good. Yeah.
There are so many programs now that have unsavory. And sometimes you're watching along and you've watched part of the program before something comes on that is totally obscene.
Right.
And then you have to make a decision.
Mm-hmm.
Do I continue to watch this program or do I turn it off?
Right.
And one thing that I didn't realize was that if you continue to watch, they actually, especially if you're on cable or something,
mm-hmm.
they actually can tell what you were watching.
Oh. So
and that is mm-hmm. what
mm-hmm.
makes them continue to produce the program
right.
or stop producing.
That's a good point.
So if we don't turn away from it,
right.
Then they're going to say we've accepted it and want more of it.
Yeah, you're right. That reminds me of what you said with garbage in, garbage out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what are we putting in?
Right.
A few others that I think fit us specifically as women, more so as men, is vanity. I think, you know, that's something that can distract us. Materialism, that's something as women, I know men can struggle with it too, but as women, that's something we're distracted by. Another one that us women seem to struggle with is gossip. I think that that's something that, you know, we like to gab, we like to talk, and a lot of times that gets us into trouble, and we're distracted by that. And I know there's a whole lot more, but we'll try to get through these. Another area of distraction is emotional. I have a few on here. You guys help me if you can. One of them is worry. Anybody ever here in here been distracted by worry? Anticipation. And that can be good or bad, you know. We're excited because Riley's going to be starting kindergarten. Or we're excited because we're going to be starting a new job. We're going to be moving, those sort of things. Anticipation is something that can distract us. Excitement, that kind of goes into it as well. Stress. Anybody ever feel stressed out? I think stress is such a big one. Stress and worry, because it just engulfs us. It takes over our everything if we allow it to. It distracts us in a big way. And then anger is another one that I think falls under the emotional. Sometimes we let our anger, and it doesn't have to be a big show of anger. If we have some anger in our heart towards somebody, is that distracting us from what our focus should be? This is a big one for me, day to day. I stay home with our two boys. I've gotten to stay home with our littles since Riley was born, and I mean, it's such a blessing. I'm so grateful that we're able to do that. But I had such a different picture of what that was going to look like before I had kids. You know, I thought that I was going to have these immaculate dinners ready for Jeremy when he got home, and house was going to be shiny and spotless and kids well-behaved and dressed nice. That is not what our day looks like. Not even close. You know, and, you know, I typically try to start my day off in God's Word. But sometimes my day gets started before I'm ready for it to get started. And before I know it, the day is gone, and I've been distracted by the chores and the bills and the messy kids and the diapers that I haven't even gotten to it. It's just, there are so many distractions. Let's see. Entertainment. This goes back to what you were saying of entertainment. That's a huge distraction right here.
Mm-hmm.
We have this with us all the time. A great tool. Don't get me wrong. We can do so much with this. It's my clock. Tom, keeping track of how slow I'm moving right now. But, you know, we can do so many good things with it. But also, oh, what a distraction. What a distraction. TV. You know, even aside from the technology side of it, what about sports? Extracurricular activities, you know, supporting our loved ones in those things, can it still become a distraction? I think so. Relationships. And we're talking specifically about the family unit right now, with distractions. But, you know, my family can be a distraction from the focus I'm trying to give to my family. You know, if the little ones are bickering at one another, you know, or Jeremy and I are just not in a right spot, you know, anything, you know, those sort of things can be a distraction, and it can tear our focus away from where it needs to be. You know, there's also draining relationships. If you have a friend, or maybe not a friend, you know, that is just pulling at your time and your energy and tearing your focus away from where it needs to be. If you have negative friendships, friendships that you don't need to have or that aren't fruitful, that can tear our focus away as well. Responsibilities. This is one, you know, we can't avoid it. We have to have jobs. Our kids need to go to school. We have to parent. We have so many responsibilities. It's not something that we can avoid. But it can be a distraction if we let it be. I mean, where do we spend a bulk of our time? Work and school, typically. You know, in your lifetime, work and school is where a lot of your time will go. You know, and so if we let that be our focus, then we're distracted. Now stick with me on this one. This one's a little hard for me to swallow, but when I really started examining it, I really feel like sometimes our attitudes and our intentions behind what we do with church can distract us from what we need to be doing. It's great. I will never, never, never encourage you not to be there, but what is our intention in serving? You know, what is our intention for being there? Are we getting up and getting out the door just so our neighbors see that we went? Are we getting there just because we don't want anybody to think we weren't there? You know, are we serving just because, oh, it's another thing I've got to do? You know, what is our heart in that? You know, we can let things like that be a distraction. It's all about our motivation behind it. Now, there are a ton of distractions that fall, I believe, into all of those categories. But what I would like to do is to address three points that can defend our families against those distractions. How can we keep our families on a path that is seeking God's will amidst all of these distractions that are in our world? And so that's what I would like to do today. The first one is we need to face the distractions. The second one is we need to filter those distractions. We can't avoid them all, but we can filter them. And then finally, we need to focus on God's will for our family. So that's where we're going to go today. Now, this might look a little different in a different setting, but in here, we're all women, wives, mothers, sisters, and we have a huge responsibility to our households. We carry so much weight with our families, and I love what you were saying. That's something I had written down. If mama ain't happy, ain't nobody happy, and that's exactly right. I feel that and see that every single day. Our family's focus hinges so much on the direction and the emotions of mom. I don't know about you, but have you ever just gotten out of bed, you're just not in the right place, and you get up and go throughout your day, and around noon you realize, why is everyone bickering at one another? Why is everyone so upset? Typically for me, if I just pause for a minute and trace my steps, I realize it started with me. It was me. Maybe I was a little bit short. Maybe I, you know, snapped a little bit. You know, I just wasn't as cheerful, especially little ones. Oh, my goodness, they pick up on that. It's terrifying how much they pick up on. But so much of our family's focus can be steered by us without even a word. We don't have to get up and forcibly say, this is what we're doing. You know, we can lead very quietly and with a lot of humility, you know, without even saying much. and our families will follow us. We have such a strong responsibility to do that for our families, and I feel very strongly about it. In 1 Timothy 2:4, we know that men are called to manage their households well. And I am so grateful for my husband. Jeremy is a great spiritual leader, and he leads our household so well. But that doesn't take away from my responsibility of also steering our family in the direction of God's will. 1 Corinthians 11:3 states that the head of every wife is her husband, just as the head of Christ is God. We don't forget that our husbands are the leader of the household. We don't forget that they are the ones charged with spiritually leading our families. That is such a big on-taking. But behind every good man is what? Right, that's right. We are given an even, you know, just as great of a responsibility to be directing and steering our families in that. So I think that sometimes we can discount the chore that we've been given in that. And we just, a lot of times we just need to step up and realize what a great thing that that can be. Now, I was laying by Jackson the other day, just kind of to illustrate this. And he, as he was falling asleep, I was laying there. And he's one of the sweetest boys. He's kind of our boy of extremes. He's so sweet and so loving, but then on the other hand, he's like bouncing on your head and being crazy and punching holes in the wall. But sweetest boy in the world. I was laying there by him, and he said, "Mama, why are you smiling?" I didn't even realize I was smiling. And I said, "Well, I love you, and you make me smile." And he said, "Oh, well, I'm glad that you're smiling, because when you smile, that makes me smile too." You know, and that just sort of clicked for me. There it is. My three-year-old just illustrated it perfectly. You know, what I'm giving off is being taken in by everyone in the family, and just something so little can steer us like that. So we really need to take on that focus and direction and run with it. Let's go first into facing our distractions. We have to realize that we are distracted. If we try to deny it, then we're just feeding the problem. And it looks different for all of us, but we just have to pause and realize that we are distracted. We need to acknowledge that, because a lot of times our tendency is just to ignore it, and that just aids in the problem. It just keeps it growing. When I was in college at LCU, I ran track and cross country and indoor, and some of the injuries that runners face are called overuse injuries. They come over time. In other sports, basketball and football, you get hit and you can be hurt, right? But it's a little different in running because it's more overuse and injuries. You're running and there's so much pounding that you can get hurt. Well, my junior year was my most successful year. I made it to nationals in cross country, I made it to nationals in track, and I was just doing great, but I was putting in a lot of miles. 80 to 100 miles a week, just pounding, pounding, pounding. And I wasn't really thinking about what was going to be happening the next year. Well, our bodies do this cool thing, and they give us pain sensories to let us know something's wrong. And especially when you're running, you need to pay attention to those things, because it's telling you something. Your body's saying, "Whoa, you need to pay attention to something that's going on here." Well, what happened with me my junior year is I didn't pay attention to something my body was telling me. I tried to ignore it. I had IT band issues, which is a band that runs up through your leg. And what can happen is from so much use, that band just starts to rub on your knee like that. And then the same thing can happen on top of your knee. There's cartilage between your knee and your kneecap, and that's there to protect it and, you know, so it doesn't hurt. Well, I've been running so much, using my knees so much, that cartilage in my knee had just worn thin. And so I developed something called chondromalacia, and it took me out for the beginning of my senior year. And I only got to run in 2 meets that year, and I missed qualifying for nationals by 0.7 of a second. And it was devastating. It's devastating. And as heartbroken as I was, I started to reflect on that and think, what if I had just listened to my body? What if I had just acknowledged that something was wrong and paused and fixed it then? It wouldn't have been a big problem. It wouldn't have taken me out for the whole season. I could have kept going and accomplished who knows what. So just like with that, we need to be acknowledging the distractions in our life. Those 7 lists, is there anything in there that's a distraction for you? Even if just a little bit, you need to acknowledge it. We need to address it. 2 Corinthians 13:5, if you want to turn there, I'm going to go ahead and read it. It says, examine yourselves to see whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Or do you not realize this about yourself, that Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed you fail to meet the test? We need to examine ourselves. We need to be constantly in reflection. Am I distracted? Am I focused? Am I working towards God's will? Because, I mean, that's the goal, isn't it? One of my favorite stories in the Bible, because it just hits home so much with me, is the story of Martha and Mary. And when Jesus came into the home, and I'm sure you know the story, but it's in Luke 10:38, if you want to flip over there. Now, Mary was sitting in, what was she doing? Do you remember? That's right. What was Martha doing? She was in getting the food ready. I mean, she's going to have guests in her home. What do we do when we have guests in our home as women? We've got a lot on our plate we've got to take care of, you know? And this just wasn't any guest. You know, this is someone pretty special, even though they were close friends. Now, I relate so well with Martha. You know, I'm running around, and I've got to get this taken care of and this taken care of, and you're not even helping me. But Jesus says, look, you're not paying attention to what is right. Mary is focused on what is good. Mary's focused on what is right. And that just speaks to me so loudly, because most of the time I'm so distracted with the dishes and getting dinner ready that I forget to put my focus on Jesus. And that's where it needs to be. So that was facing our distractions. We just need to acknowledge that they're there. And see what we need to do about them. The next thing we need to do is filter our distractions. We can't get rid of them. In this world we live in, we can't just cut them out. It's not that easy. Jeremy and I joke a lot. We love being in the mountains, and so sometimes on our stressful weeks, we'll kind of just daydream. Wouldn't it be nice just to move to the mountains and live in a cabin secluded in the woods and no technology, no hustle and bustle, just hide from it all? Is that reality? Well, it's a nice dream. But, you know, I think about that, and as much as that would be trying to cut out those distractions, distractions would still find us. They do. They're everywhere. And I think that's one of Satan's tools is, you know, he's feeding those into your life. You know, no, don't worry about that. Don't put your focus on Jesus. Just worry about this right now. And so instead of just cutting the distractions out, we need to filter them. Because are all of these distractions in and of themselves bad? I mean, church, I hope you're not saying yes. Church, definitely not. It's a great thing. Relationships. Great thing. Responsibilities, school and work. I mean, there's so much positive in all of them. Sin, let's cut that one out. We know that. We need to get rid of that for sure. But the rest of them, there's good that can be in all of those. So instead of just trying to cut them out and hide from them and run away from them, let's filter them. Let's evaluate what our motivation behind what we're doing is. Let's take a minute and refocus. Let's go ahead and turn over to John 12:43 if you have your Bibles with you. And I'll just go ahead and read it. For they love the glory that comes from man more than the glory that comes from God. Can that be one of our motivations? to be glorified by man. And I think that that can go back to the one with church as a distraction. Sometimes do we seek to be glorified by man? I think sometimes we might be guilty of that. And that falls into a lot of those categories. Another one is Philippians 4:8. And you're welcome to turn there if you want. But I think this really gives us a mindset of where our thoughts and our focus needs to go. If anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. That's where we need to be steering our thoughts. That's the direction we need to be steering our families. If anything is excellent or praiseworthy, that's where we want everything to go, is in that direction. Romans 12:2. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. The will of God. That's where our focus should go. Wake up every day. What is God's will for my day? What am I doing today? That's where we should be steering our families. That is such an important thing. I think it's so critically important that if you don't feel like you have a grasp of what God's will for your family is, I would challenge you to take a moment to pray about it, to sit down with your families and figure it out. If your children are older, if they're grown even, talk with them. What do you think God's will for our family is? What do you think God wants our family to accomplish for the kingdom? Okay? I think that's so, so critically important. Now, there's no one formula that can protect our families from all the distractions that the world is hurling at us. There's no set thing. I can't say what helps my family deal with distractions is going to help your family, because our families look different. Because our distractions look different. And though distractions change, because they have been changing, as culture changes, distraction changes. Though all of that changes, there is something that doesn't change. And that's where our focus should be. Our focus should be on what is permanent, what is everlasting, what is eternal, right? God, right? His word. Let's stay focused on those things that are forever, okay? So that's one of the ways we can battle distractions is by filtering distractions. And then finally, to help with those distractions, we need to focus our families on God's will. Like I was saying, what is God's will for your family? That's something that I think is great to specifically have mapped out. It gives us direction. If we don't have direction where we're going, we're all over the place, right? One of my favorite quotes that I've heard over and over again since becoming a parent is, if we don't teach them, the world will. And it's sobering and it's terrifying. Oh man, but what a wake-up call. I mean, what a call to action. I've got to step up and really be working with my family, be intentional with my family. Because if I'm not, the world's out there waiting for them. I don't want the world to get my family. So I'm going to be intentional in steering their focus and doing everything that I can to keep their focus on Christ. Ephesians 4:14. It says, so that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine. We have to make sure that our families are given a strong foundation, kind of what was talked about this morning, so that they're not carried off. We need to be intentional in that. For Jackson's second birthday, we went to a water park. And our kids are... they're pretty confident in the water, and they do pretty well. But we went with both of our families, Jeremy's family and my family, and then we had some friends there as well. And it was a whole lot of fun. But I think the people that had the most fun were the grandpas. They got out there with the kids, and they went down the biggest water slides, and I think they had the most fun of all. But there was a moment where both grandpas, my dad and Jeremy's dad, they took the kids out into the wave pool, which Mama wasn't too happy about, because it was, you know, we had a 2-year-old and a 4-year-old, and this is a big wave pool. I'm standing up on the edge, and all I see are masses of children everywhere with these giant, looks like to me, tsunami waves coming, waiting to swallow up my babies. And I'm just terrified. And, you know, as much as, you know, I love my dad and my father-in-law, I was a little like, you don't need to be doing that with my babies. But, you know, they went out there, and they know their limits, and our kids are really, they do great in the water. But they went out there, and they would take one of them and throw them into the wave, and then the wave would carry them back to them. And the kids were laughing and thought that was so much fun. And they'd take another one and throw them into the wave, and the wave would carry them back. And I was just out there pacing and waiting for them to get out of the water so I could just give them some of my words. And, you know, I started thinking about it after the fact, like, they did so good. You know, first of all, grandpas can get away with a lot of things. But really, I was thinking about it. That was neat because those grandpas, they never lost sight of their grandbabies. They were always focused on their grandbabies. While I was standing up on the edge, you know, just seeing the masses and masses of children and looking at the whole big situation, those grandpas, they never lost sight of those babies. Their focus was always on them, always. And so they weren't distracted by the kids over here splashing and dunking and doing all sorts of silly things. They had their focus locked in on where it needed to be. They were focused on those grandbabies. And I think a lot of times, personally, that's how I get. I can get pretty overwhelmed sometimes. 3 kids makes a loud house, and if you have anything else on your plate, it's easy to become overwhelmed. And so sometimes my tendency is to step back and look at everything, and I can't do it. There's no way I can do this. I can't steer my family. You expect me to steer my family and keep up with laundry? There's no way anybody can do that. But, you know, when you set your focus on where it needs to be, all of that stuff fades out. The distractions don't matter. They don't matter. If we have our focus set right, those distractions just fall out of sight. Now, where do we start with all of this? Our focus and filtering our distractions and addressing those distractions. Again, this goes back to my running background, but a good place to start is the finish. You guys, turn over to Matthew 5:12. Matthew 5:12 says, "Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you." What do our eyes need to be focused on? Right there. Our reward. Our reward. Just like when you're running. When you're running, you're not thinking about, you know, the next mile or the next step. You've got to keep your focus on the goal. The goal is the finish line. The goal is that tape. And, you know, it's interesting because our life as Christians is compared to a race. Paul compares our lives to a race in Hebrews 12. And I think that's such a fitting illustration because we do need to keep our focus with the end in mind. If we allow these daily distractions to fill us up, we've lost our focus. We all know where to start. We all know what to do. But when we begin to feel like we are drowning in the distractions of this world, the first thing that we need to do is to face those distractions. We need to acknowledge that they're there. We need to figure out what to do with them. We can't keep hiding and, you know, neglecting to address those. We have to acknowledge them. We have to face them. I think that's the first step. The second step is we have to filter those distractions, and I'm going to wrap up. I think that we have to determine how do those distractions, or how does God's will fit in with those distractions? How does God's will fit in, or how does my job fit in with God's will? Because really, we don't need to try to fit, you know, God into us. We need to fit everything else into God who should be consuming us. So how does my work and what I do every single day fit in? How do I make that work with what God's will is for my life? A lot of times that's not cutting it out, and it's not hiding. Can't run into a cabin in the mountains and hide, because ultimately we weren't called to do that anyways. We're not called to be hidden, right? We're supposed to let our light shine. So we have to figure out how to filter those and keep our mindset and God's will for our families at the forefront of our minds. Finally, we need to focus on God's will. We have to be intentional. Again, we have so much responsibility as women in our household to be steering the mindset and the focus of our families. So we need to be steering that towards the will of God. And we need to determine what the will of God is for our families. And that might look different for all of us in the work that we do for God's kingdom. But nevertheless, we need to determine what that is and be steering our families in that direction. To close, if you would turn over with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Chapter 10, verse 31. So whether you eat or drink, or whatever you do, do all for the glory of God. And I think that sums it up. What we do all looks a little bit different, but ultimately, whatever we do needs to be for God's glory. So that's all I have for you guys today. I thank you so much for letting me come in and share a little bit with you.